Dave Emery here. This is For the Record, program number 1057, Miscellaneous Articles and Updates. This is being recorded on February 19th of the year 2019. It feels a little strange from a subjective standpoint to be doing one of these in-studio readings and pedantic downloading of printed source material after the 25 one-hour interviews with Jim DiEugenio about the book Destiny Betrayed. There was one program, 1039, when our phone system was inoperable, but it has been some months since I did this. I think that I'm going to do an article that might, or a show, I should say, that might be considered a contextual follow-up to the landmark Jim DiEugenio interviews, all 25 of them. However, I was going to do that in this program. I think I'm going to do that in the next broadcast, perhaps dovetailing from the end of this one. Needless to say, there has been an awful lot going on. And that material, an awful lot of what has been going on is quite awful indeed. We might as well start off with this beauty, this from the government executive of February 8th, of 2019. It is by Charles S. Clark, and headline, State Department names Fox News and Navy veteran to counter propaganda. And this concerns the appointment of a Fox News host named Leah Gabriele, L-E-A, last name G-A-B-R-I-E-L-L-E, to head the State Department's Global Engagement Center. Now, that has been cited by critics, as we noted in For the Record 943, as basically something of a Ministry of Truth a la George Orwell. What it is doing is labeling things that are displeasing to the present government narrative as propaganda, fake news, and we'll be hearing more about that, etc. And in particular, that has been directed against Russia. To make an extremely long story very short, and I will be updating this in a few weeks, what Russia is saying about Ukraine is absolutely correct, and that can be verified from the public record. However, we are being told that is not the case, and that when Russia claims quite correctly that Nazis and fascists are in control of the Ukrainian government. By the way, many people in Ukraine, including academics and journalists, have had the same complaint, and many of them have been subjected to intimidation or actual violence. Some of them have been killed. More about that in a couple of weeks, two, 3 weeks. However, this Department of, or this subsidiary element of the State Department, which is now headed up by Mike Pompeo, very close to the Koch brothers, and formerly head of the CIA. This is to be headed up by a Fox News host, Leah Gabriele. Now, her resume is as follows. Quoting again from this article from the government executive of February 8th, State Department names Fox News host and Navy veteran to counter propaganda. Gabriele, who begins her job on February 11th, that obviously has taken place, was described to reporters by Deputy Spokesman Robert Palladino on Thursday as, quote, a former CIA-trained human intelligence operations officer, defense foreign liaison officer, United States Navy program director, Navy F/A-18C fighter pilot, and national television news correspondent and anchor at two different networks. One of the things that reminds, of course, the notion of an ex-CIA officer is always a questionable one. She was a human intelligence operations officer. Sounds like basically a case officer. Also, defense foreign liaison officer. One thing this brings to mind is one of the things that I emphasized in our interviews with Jim DeGenio, and that at this distance in time, more than a half century from the assassination of JFK, perhaps the most important part of his book was his very skillful portrayal of what I have talked about, the synthesis of the intelligence services, the infiltrators into Jim Garrison's investigation, the major news media, Clay Shaw's defense, and the Department of Justice. This is a fascist, basically. That is the root word of fascism. It is the old symbol of the Roman Republic, a bundle of sticks bound together by a leather thong with an axe head, and that fascist of the infiltrators in the Garrison's office, the intelligence services, the major news media, and the Department of Justice and Clay Shaw's defense team was one of the things that carried the day in the acquittal of Clay Shaw, despite a great deal of evidence that, in fact, he was guilty in the assassination of JFK. Clay Shaw was a very powerful, well-connected man. We'll get into that in our next program. But that is one of the things that comes to mind. This is the woman who will be heading up what critics have termed, appropriately in my opinion, the Ministry of Truth, a la George Orwell. Again, Leah Gabriel from Fox News, a former CIA-trained human intelligence operations officer and defense foreign liaison officer. Noting some of the other people from the Trump administration who have Fox News backgrounds, skipping down. Critics in the diplomatic community, however, have highlighted the Trump administration's other hires from Fox News. Heather Nauert, N-A-U-E-R-T, as acting State Department spokeswoman and current nominee to be United Nations ambassador. She turned that down. And Bill Shine, Deputy White House Chief of Staff for Communications. This is, again, an illustration of what I believe is that fascus that we spoke about in connection with the Jim DeGenio interviews. I would also note that Leanne Tweeden, the former Fox News personality who helped bring down Al Franken with what should have been an altogether laughably ridiculous ploy. There was a staged photograph with Franken mugging and pretending to grab her breasts. It was an obviously bogus photograph. She's wearing a flak jacket. And that, in combination with an alleged Al Franken groping episode in which he supposedly groped a woman at the Minnesota State Fair with her husband and father present. I've forgotten which one was taking the picture, but one was taking the picture. Both that woman and her husband are Trump supporters. Leanne Tweeden, according to her friend Tom Arnold, is not only a birther, that is, believing that Barack Obama was not born in the U.S. and so on and so forth, but was very close to Roger Stone, the Roy Cohn-mentored beauty tricks specialist for the GOP and for Donald Trump, who signaled Al Franken's removal. This synthesis between the Trump administration and Fox News is worth taking note of, particularly when Leah Gabriel has a background as a CIA human intelligence operations officer and foreign defense liaison officer. From The Hollywood Reporter of February 13th of 2019, article by Jeremy Barr, B-A-R-R, Fox News rejects national ad for Oscar-nominated anti-Nazi documentary. Fox News has rejected a national advertising buy for a 30-second spot that warns viewers about the potential dangers of American fascism. After an ad sales representative said network leadership deemed it inappropriate, The Hollywood Reporter has learned. The spot was to double as a promotion of this year's Oscar-nominated documentary short, A Night at the Garden, which recounts a 1939 Nazi rally in New York City, and a warning, quote, it can happen here, unquote, to Sean Hannity's largely conservative viewers about the potential dangers of President Donald Trump's brand of populism. An ad was bought to air locally during Monday night's edition of Hannity's primetime show through a regional advertising buy on Charter Communications Spectrum Service in Los Angeles, but was precluded by breaking news coverage of President Trump's rally in Texas. Let's cut to that rally right now. This from the Trump, from the Huffington Post by Christopher Mathias, or Mathias, M-A-T-H-I-A-S. Trump's 2020 campaign kicks off with a carnival of lies in El Paso. That's El Paso, Texas, of course, very close to the Mexican border. Skipping down. Trump's rally in El Paso was in support of his border wall. In his State of the Union address last week, he claimed falsely that border fencing was built south of the city in 2010, transformed El Paso from a dangerous place into a safe one. Its Republican mayor lashed out at the president last week for his falsehood. El Paso's declining crime rate started well before the border fencing was built. But Trump repeated the lie Monday night, and for his audience, the lie was now the truth. Quote, once they built that wall, it was amazing how statistically the violence started going down, unquote. 39-year-old El Paso resident Michael Blanco, B-L-A-N-C-O, I wonder if that is his real name, who owns an accounting business, told HuffPost outside the Coliseum. Quote, I'm a complete witness of it. Seen it going up, unquote. Henry Raphael, H-E-M-R-I-R-A-F-A-E-L, a 58-year-old El Pasoan wearing a black Trump 2020 hat, said that even though the mayor corrected Trump, quote, I know for a fact that the crime was high back in the 70s and 80s, and when they built those walls, crime has dropped, unquote. In fact, violent crime increased in El Paso in the 2 years after the wall was built, according to a study from the El Paso Times. Trump periodically paused his speech Monday for chants of build the wall and USA, unquote. When he talked of the fake news media, the crowd jeered. At one point, a particularly inspired Trump supporter attacked a BBC journalist. And skipping down, speaking of Stuart Rhodes, the founder of the far-right militia group, the Oath Keepers, about whom we've spoken in the past, they supported the Maduro Wildlife Refuge Rebellion, basically, was what it was in Oregon, and have also been in support of the people in Utah as well. Skipping down. Stuart Rhodes is the founder of the far-right militia group, the Oath Keepers. He was present at the rally, by the way, wearing a baseball hat and an eye patch. The Southern Poverty Law Center lists the Oath Keepers as an anti-government extremist group because of the wild conspiracy theories its members promote. Rhodes recently claimed he was setting up paramilitary training camps across the U.S., to prepare to fight Antifa or anti-fascist groups. People, I don't think much of street demonstrations, and I don't think very much of the various groups that have played right into the hands of the far right with their street demonstrations, and there was all no free speech for fascists. Well, you may find out just what happens with that, but skipping down, a few hundred yards away, riot police announced over a megaphone that a separate group of 50 or so anti-Trump protesters standing on the street corner needed to disperse. That may serve as something of a harbinger for where a lot of police officials' sentiments lie. More about that later.
You're listening to Dave Emery's For the Record. Long article-length descriptions of the For the Record programs are available at spitfirelist.com, also featuring information that wasn't in the original program due to the limitations of time.
Speaking of Trump's 2020 campaign, which was described in the Huffington Post as kicking off with that carnival of lies, so to speak, in El Paso, from Texas Public Radio, an article by Paul Flahive, or Flahive, F-L-A-H-I-V-E, from February 5th of 2019, Cambridge Analytica alum to run another San Antonio-based firm. Parscale or Parscale Digital, a San Antonio-based digital marketing firm best known for its namesake and former owner Brad Parscale or Parscale, President Donald Trump's 2020 campaign chairman, is now being run by a former executive at Cambridge Analytica. One more time. Parscale or Parscale Digital, a San Antonio-based digital marketing firm best known for its namesake and former owner Brad Parscale, President Donald Trump's 2020 campaign chairman, is now being run by a former executive at Cambridge Analytica. Cambridge Analytica, the now defunct data analysis company known for working on President Trump's 2016 campaign, declared bankruptcy in 2018 after news broke that data from more than 80 million Facebook users was shared with it. Matt Oczkowski, O-C-Z-K-O-W-S-K-I, was head of Matt Oczkowski, O-C-Z-K-O-W-S-K-I, was head of product for Cambridge Analytica before forming Data Propria, D-A-T-A, of course, and then P-R-O-P-R-I-A, in San Antonio, with at least three other Cambridge Analytica alums, including its chief data scientist, David Wilkinson. Oczkowski will take on the dual role running Parscale or Parscale and Data Propria, which are both owned by Cloud Commerce. Brad Parscale sits on the board of parent company Cloud Commerce, skipping down. Data Propria reportedly assisted the Republican National Committee with midterm race polling last year, and is working on Trump's 2020 campaign. We have covered Cambridge Analytica for quite some time. Robert Mercer, a fascist would be the only way to describe him, and his daughter Rebecca are the chief people there. They were assisted in their efforts by people from Palantir, the surveillance firm that makes much of the software that came into focus in the wake of the Edward Snowden gambit. I would note that Facebook, as we looked at in For the Record 2018, was capitalized in considerable measure by Incutel, the CIA's venture capital arm. Peter Thiel was one of its first major investors, sits on its board of directors, and for a time was its largest stockholder, and he is the head of the largest stockholder in Palantir. He also capitalized Ron Paul's super PAC. Ron Paul, the unabashed white supremacist, joined at the hip with the neo-Confederate movement, was the presidential candidate of choice by none other than Eddie the Friendly Spook Snowden, whose first lawyer was the chief legal counsel for Ron Paul's 2012 campaign. It's a fellow named Bruce Fine. Bruce Fine is also the lawyer for the Snowden family. Cambridge Analytica, of course, was basically directed in its efforts by PCL. That is a British counterinsurgency intelligence-connected firm that we looked at in For the Record 946. We came back to it later. We will be going into a very important book called Surveillance Valley by Yasha Levine, and it is subtitled The Secret Military History of the Internet. The Internet is not a wonderful new invention intended to connect all of us and make us all communicating with each other. It was specifically developed as a weapon. It was developed as a weapon, specifically a counterinsurgency information weapon, and it was part of the same overlapping series of DARPA projects called Project Agile, which also produced Agent Orange in Vietnam. We will get to that later. So when we see PCL and Cambridge Analytica, it basically is fulfilling, and they're harvesting up of 80 million people, the data from 80 million people and its use on behalf of the Trump campaign and perhaps the Brexit campaign as well. It is the application of what the Internet was designed to do in the first place. It is for counterinsurgency purposes. More about that in weeks to come. A Guardian article from February 1st of 2019 by Sam Levin, L-E-V-I-N, in Oakland, California, revealed FBI investigated civil rights group as, quote, terrorism, unquote, threat, and viewed KKK as victims. It reads in part, the FBI opened a domestic terrorism investigation into a civil rights group in California, labeling the activists extremists after they protested against neo-Nazis in 2016. New documents reveal federal authorities ran a surveillance operation on By Any Means Necessary, or BAMN, spying on the leftist group's movements in an inquiry that came after one of BAM's members was stabbed at the white supremacist rally, according to documents obtained by The Guardian. The FBI's BAM file reveal. The FBI investigated BAM for potential conspiracy, unquote, against the, quote, rights, unquote, of the Ku Klux Klan and white supremacists. More of that, about that later. The FBI considered the KKK as victims and the leftist protesters as potential terror threats and downplayed the threats of the Klan, writing, quote, the KKK consisted of members that some perceived to be supportive of a white supremacist agenda. Again, this last sentence or last item. The FBI considered the KKK as victims and the leftist protesters as potential terror threats and downplayed the threats of the Klan, writing, quote, the KKK consisted of members that some perceived to be supportive of a white supremacist agenda. I think that is a fair analysis of the KKK. Continuing, the FBI's monitoring included in-person surveillance, and the agency cited BAM's advocacy against, quote, rape and sexual assault, unquote, and, quote, police brutality, unquote, as evidence in the terrorism inquiry. The FBI's 46-page report on BAM, obtained by the government transparency nonprofit Property of the People through a records request, presented an astonishing, unquote, description of the KKK, said Mike German, a former FBI agent and far-right expert who reviewed the documents for The Guardian. The report ignored, quote, 100 years of Klan terrorism that has killed thousands of Americans and continues using violence right up to the present day, German said. This description of the KKK should be an embarrassment to FBI leadership, unquote. By the way, we have spoken about Mike German in years past. As an FBI special agent, he had infiltrated some right-wing groups, or fascist groups, really would be a better way of putting it, and had noted their collaboration with Islamist terror groups. That was something the FBI did not do much to follow up on. So, again, Mike German, an heroic person in my estimation, and someone who has duly noted the curious attitude of the FBI here. I think it is fair to say that the FBI consisted of members that some perceived to be supportive of a white supremacist agenda. Yeah, I think that's fair. I would note, however, that people who get involved with these kinds of street organizations, and they're just a little bit late. The Black Bloc, quote, Antifa, unquote, people play right into the hands of groups like the KKK and other fascist street groups when they attack them or make any attempt, as BAM had noted on their website, no free speech for fascists. You want to be careful about trying to deny anyone their free speech. Skipping down. The FBI files further included mention of Yvette Falarca, F-E-L-A-R-C-A, a BAM member who was stabbed at the rally but is now facing state charges of assault and rioting. Her lawyers have argued in court that the police, investigators, and prosecutors were biased against anti-fascists and worked to protect neo-Nazis. Driver, who is also Falarca's attorney, said the FBI should have mentioned that Falarca was, quote, stabbed and bludgeoned by a fascist in Sacramento, unquote. She added, quote, instead of finding the person who assaulted anti-racist protesters, the FBI chose to target BAM, which, by their own admission, holds demonstrations that are protected by the First Amendment. Something, by the way, I have noted in past programs is what I have called, or what others have termed, specialized knowledge and abilities. For decades, Nazi and fascist groups on both sides of the Atlantic have advocated infiltrating not only the military but law enforcement in order to acquire these specialized knowledge and abilities that would be needed to fulfill their agenda. And it has been apparent for some time that there are people inside of the law enforcement establishment who are sympathetic to the white supremacist slash fascist cause. Skipping down again in this article, the Justice Department's Inspector General previously criticized the FBI for using nonviolent civil disobedience and speculation of future crimes to justify terrorism investigations against domestic advocacy groups, German noted, adding that the BAM files suggest the FBI, quote, seems to have learned nothing from these previous overreaches, unquote. Well, maybe, on the other hand, maybe they have learned something, but not necessarily what Mr. German or many others would have liked them to have learned.
You're listening to Dave Emery's For the Record. You can subscribe to the comments posted on the SpitfireList.com website, most of them by a brilliant contributing editor who uses the moniker Terra Fractal, specializing, but by no means exclusively, in economic and financial matters.
Something else is quite remarkable. We have just passed the one-year anniversary of the attack down in Parkland High School in Florida, and actually, it was, I believe, in Parkland, Florida. In any event, the Valentine's Day massacre in Florida, in which that was perhaps the most publicized of the school shootings, was executed, I might use the term advisedly, by Nicholas Cruz, who quite obviously had been influenced by Nazi and white supremacist propaganda. Many of the other lone wolves who have been going off, Mr. Ramos, who shot up the newsroom in Maryland, the high school shooter in Santa Fe, Texas, the Columbine shooters, and many others, including Stephen Paddock, who I guess is something of a record holder at this point. He was the fellow that blazed away at a country music festival in Las Vegas, killing 50, 60 some odd people. He was a member of the Sovereign Citizens. That is one of the fascist manifestations of the militia phenomenon, in which they simply do not acknowledge their obligation to adhere to American law. However, the obvious, we've spoken about Paddock in the past, including, for the record, 1011. When the FBI investigated that, they took no notice of his obvious inclinations in the direction or his affiliation for the Sovereign Citizen cause. There are many other things, too, about Stephen Paddock. He had developed an algorithm to allow him to win online poker. He made some 200 trips outside of Las Vegas to gamble. One wonders if he may have very well been working for an organization affiliated with the Sovereign Citizens. That is obviously speculative. AP story, January 29th of 2019, by Ken Ritter, R-I-P-P-E-R, and Michael Balsamo, B-A-L-S-A-M-O. FBI finds no specific motive in Vegas attack that killed 58, despite the fact that Stephen Paddock was expressing sympathy for the Ruby Ridge situation and others. The high-stakes gambler responsible for the deadliest mass shooting in modern U.S. history sought notoriety in the attack but left his specific motive a mystery, the FBI said Tuesday, as it concluded the investigation of the 2017 massacre that killed 58 country music fans. While the agency found, quote, no single or clear motivating factor, unquote, to explain why Stephen Paddock opened fire from his suite in a high-rise casino hotel, Paddock may have been seeking to follow in his father's criminal footsteps, the FBI said. Quote, it wasn't about MGM, Mandalay Bay, or a specific casino or venue, Aaron Rouse, the agent in charge of the FBI's Las Vegas office, told the AP. It was all about doing the maximum amount of damage and him obtaining some form of infamy. Got my doubts about that, and I think the FBI has been, shall we say, less than vigorous in their investigation of Mr. Paddock's situation. I suspect that there were actually, this was far more, that this was, here is the word, a conspiracy of sorts. One wonders about the person at the in the front row of the concert or near the front of the audience who shouted, "You're all going to die." Later that, there have been attempts at walking that back. I also wonder about the hotel staff and security. He brought up a lot of weapons, a lot of ammunition, which is very heavy. He reportedly had begun shooting up the hotel before opening fire on the country music concert. Why wasn't security all over him? In Las Vegas, those casinos have some intense security. You go to a Las Vegas casino and start shooting things up, you are going to draw some real serious heat very, very quickly and very possibly get killed yourself. I think there was a lot more to that than we have been told, and yet we're told he was just a lone nut. Got my doubts about that. Something of the harbinger of things to come from the Vice motherboard of February 18th of 2018 by Joseph Cox, C-O-X. TikTok, that's T-I-K, capital T-O-K, has a Nazi problem. Users on mega-popular children's lip-syncing app TikTok are sharing calls for violence against people of color and Jews, as well as creating and sharing neo-Nazi propaganda, Motherboard has found. Some accounts verbatim read, quote, kill all, N-words, I'm not going to attenuate that, unquote, all, quote, all Jews must die, and, quote, killing, the N-word, unquote. The words are uncensored on the app, which is a sort of melding of Vine and Instagram that allows users to create short videos synced to music. Motherboard found the content on the Chinese-made app, which is used by hundreds of millions of people, many including teenagers and children in the U.S., within minutes of starting a basic search. One more time. Motherboard found the content on the Chinese-made app, which is used by hundreds of millions of people, including teenagers and children in the U.S., within minutes of starting a basic search. Quote, we've never talked to TikTok, but clearly we need to. Heidi Barrick, director of the Intelligence Project at the Southern Poverty Law Center, SPLC, told Motherboard in an email. Again, quoting, they need the site to be cleaned up, and now, unquote. The news signals social media platforms continue reckoning with hate speech. But even with Facebook mishandling its approach to white nationalism and Discord providing a haven for serious neo-Nazi groups, TikTok is doing a particularly bad job at moderating white supremacists on its platform. The hate speech material on TikTok is varied. Some accounts signal support for Atomwaffen, a violent neo-Nazi group linked to the murders of several Jewish people in the U.S. I would also note they were planning to attack a nuclear power plant and are also, elements of them were, they are also linked to Andrew Auernheimer, a.k.a. Weave, a brilliant Nazi hacker, now resident in Ukraine, who was in turn linked to the alleged hacks of the campaign of Emmanuel Macron in France. He was a guest at Glenn Greenwald and Laura Poitras' party, celebrating their receipt of the Polk Award for investigative journalism. More about that in a minute. One account Motherboard found was called Race War Now. The user profile of another account was of an effective caricature of a Jewish person depicting a greedy rat. One video contained a succession of users making Nazi salutes. Another video included the message, I have a solution, a final solution, unquote, referring to the Holocaust. Hashtags include 1488, a number important to neo-Nazis, and Sieg Heil, the infamous Nazi slogan. One TikTok video Motherboard found, which encourages viewers to read Siege, a book popular with neo-Nazis, by the way, published by, authored by James Mason, more about that in a minute, including the hashtag, quote, Free Dylan Roof. Roof was given 9 consecutive life sentences for the massacre of 9 African Americans at the historically black Emmanuel African Methodist Episcopal Church in Charleston, South Carolina, in 2015. Noting Atomwaffen, and again, one of the people who has expressed affinity for them and defended them, again, the aforementioned Andrew Auernheimer, a brilliant Nazi hacker who uses the moniker Weave. He was a guest at Glenn Greenwald and Laura Poitras' party, celebrating their receipt of the Polk Award. Greenwald himself, prior to becoming a, quote, journalist, unquote, was a lawyer who spent a lot of his time doing pro bono work on behalf of Nazi groups. Perhaps his most important effort was on behalf of the National Alliance, publisher of Hunter and the Turner Diaries, and in so doing, he successfully ran legal interference for the leaderless resistance strategy that appears to have been executed by Stephen Paddock, by the shooters at Santa Fe and the Parkland High School, Marjorie Douglas Stoneman High School. I have to double check that. But in Parkland, Florida, Mr. Ramos in Maryland was a leaderless resistance manifester. And previously, an individual or institution who advocated leaderless resistance faced the possibility of civil action if, in fact, it could be reasonably demonstrated that their advocacy of such tactics led to violence. Greenwald deliberately distorted what the people on the other side of the aisle were doing. They weren't trying to criminalize free speech. The speech itself is perfectly legal. However, if it could be demonstrated that that speech led to violence, perhaps lethal violence, then they faced civil, not criminal, but civil litigation. Greenwald successfully ran legal interference for that. I would also note that Siege, authored by James Mason, was published with the assistance of the late Adam Parfrey. He is the top dog, and let me use that advisedly, at an alternative publishing house called Feral House, which specializes, they cater to, among other milieu, plural, Satanists, Charles Manson, acolytes, and others. They also have published some assassination books, including some apparently very good ones. That is something to take note of, because with all of the discussion of fake news, Nazis and fascists and Holocaust deniers hover around assassination research, because once someone has become aware of the fact, and a fact it is, that Lee Harvey Oswald did not kill John F. Kennedy, that Saran, more about him later, did not kill Robert Kennedy, that James Earl Ray did not kill Martin Luther King, then they can begin to wonder, well, maybe the Holocaust is a fabrication. Maybe it's fake news. That is one of the reasons why they hover around assassination research. And it is one of the reasons why Adam Parfrey and Feral House, whom we spoke about in For the Record program 437, dealing with counterculture fascism, are important and, frankly, to be viewed with the most jaundiced of eyes. And researchers would do well to steer clear of Feral House at all costs. Unfortunately, some of them have not. I don't have a whole lot of sympathy for all of the so-called progressives who are complaining about these things. Obviously, the articles we have been speaking about are most reprehensible, but these things have been building for a long, long time. Fascism is not something alien to the U.S. It enjoyed the backing of many of our most powerful industrialists and financiers. That was true in other countries as well. We basically took in the Underground Reich at the end of World War II to use them against the former Soviet Union. We did the same thing in Japan. And the so-called progressive sector who now goes, oh my gosh, we have to stop free speech for fascists, I would counsel against that. These are the same bloody a-holes, frankly, that cheered Glenn Greenwald when he ran interference for these very same fascists, who, when he ran legal interference successfully for the leaderless resistance strategy. And when people cheered Julian Assange, Eddie the Friendly Spook Snowden, Mr. The elderly wouldn't be effing helpless if you stop sending them effing checks, so they could sit on their A-blank-blank and lie in hospitals all day. A man joined at the hip was Ron Paul. Ron Paul himself, strongly connected to people like David Duke, has been networking with Duke for decades, joined at the hip with the neo-Confederate movement. Julian Assange's right-hand man, one of them anyway, was Joran Jermas, a.k.a. Israel Shamir, an unabashed Holocaust denier, who, by the way, is in charge of WikiLeaks' Russian operations and who arranged for WikiLeaks to hold forth on the Pirate Bay website that was financed largely by Carl Lundstrom, the Swedish fascist and one of the bankrollers of the Sweden Democrats, the, quote, populist, unquote, anti-immigrant party that has seen its electoral fortunes building in Sweden. By the way, I aired in previous discussion, it was not Carl Lundstrom who arranged for a Scandinavian speaking tour by David Duke. It was his associate, Lundstrom's associate, Daniel Freiberg, who did that. Now, Daniel Freiberg is networking with Richard Spencer, I should say, the Heil Trump fellow who has had a lot of publicity in the wake of Donald Trump's election or selection. And I would note that it was the Pirate Bay website at which the WikiLeaks folks held forth. Julian Assange himself is a believer in eugenics. The Pirate Bay website would have allowed the Fascist International, basically, to data mine everyone who went to that site. Julian Assange's other right-hand man in that same time period was a fellow named Jacob Applebaum, with strong connections to CIA, and a fellow who admired Ayn Rand as a young man. More about him when we talk about Surveillance Valley. The point being that when the so-called progressive sector cheers on the likes of Glenn Greenwald, cheers on the likes of WikiLeaks, cheers on the likes of Eddie the Friendly Spook Snowden, they were cheering on the very elements they now decry. We'll talk about that in weeks to come. By the way, the head of the National Alliance, defended successfully by Glenn Greenwald. This is the late Paul Pierce, William Luther Pierce, excuse me. He is the author of the Turner Diaries, The Blueprint for the Nazi Group, The Order in the 1980s, The Blueprint for the Oklahoma City bombing, Andreas Strassmeyer, Timothy McVeigh, and Mr. Nichols, Terry Nichols, and others. In 1998, he warned, quote, that Osama bin Laden is coming, and the people in New York who live in buildings the size of the World Trade Center should consider wearing hard hats, and also warned that biological warfare was coming to the U.S. This was in 1998, and obviously a direct forecast of not only the September 11th attacks of 2001, but the subsequent anthrax attacks as well. The Turner Diaries, by the way, in the Turner Diaries, which were intended as a blueprint for terrorism, the Nazi group, the Order, for which the 1980s group named themselves, they bring down a 100-story skyscraper in midtown Manhattan, and the climax of the Turner Diaries is a low-level suicide aerial attack on the Pentagon that takes place on the German Day of Destiny, which is November 9th. Of course, a German would write the date November 9th as 9/11. Of course, the Turner Diaries is just a novel. Isn't that a silly idea, the note, the idea that the terrorist group could bring down a 100-story skyscraper in downtown Manhattan or launch a suicide aerial attack against the Pentagon? Well, a silly idea, but that is just a novel. And I'm just a crazy conspiracy theorist from California. in For the Record program number 456, among others. We know the Nazi and fascist connections to September 11th. And Mike German, when he was with the FBI, noted the operational links between Nazi and white supremacist terrorists and their Islamist counterparts. The seeds being sown by elements like TikTok are bearing fruit. From The Independent, a British paper, this carried by Yahoo News of November 13th, 2018, by Tom Embry, E-M-B-U-R-Y hyphen Dennis, D-E-M-M-I-S. Wisconsin school boys in Nazi salute photo shouted white power after Trump elected, unquote, former student claims, it reads in part. Former students at a Wisconsin school caught up in a Nazi salute storm have spoken out about a troubled history of racism and intolerance among students and the willingness among staff to turn a blind eye. Police announced on Monday they were investigating after a photo emerged on social media showing dozens of pupils, mostly 16 and 17, from Baraboo High School apparently performing the Sieg Heil greeting during their junior prom. One former student at the school in Baraboo, B-A-R-A-B-O-O, a town of around 12,000 people, said she knew some of the boys in the photo and that their behavior, quote, was definitely not surprising, unquote. Again, quoting, some of the boys in this photo are notorious at our school for this kind of behavior, unquote, said the 19-year-old, who graduated earlier this year and wished to remain anonymous. The day after Donald Trump was elected, some of the boys in the photo were shouting, quote, white power, unquote, in the hallways and telling the ESL, English as a Second Language, students to go back to their own countries. Quote, I went to a school official, the only one that would meet with me, and I was told to toughen up, that there was nothing he could do because it was the boys' First Amendment right, and he wasn't harming anyone. Quote, he then proceeded to tell me to watch videos of Black Lives Matter protesters being hostile to police. I was stunned and upset and didn't pursue it further because of the response I got when asking for help. Well, again, the seeds have really have been sown before World War II, during World War II, and continue to be sown online by organizations or apps like TikTok. And frankly, the seeds that have been watered by the so-called progressive sector when they oohed and aahed over Julian Assange, Eddie Snowden, Glenn Greenwald, birds of the same feather. Well, those seeds are now flowering, and I hope people enjoy themselves.
You're listening to Dave Emery's For the Record. All of Dave Emery's 36 years of work is available for download on the SpitfireList.com website. The site includes many articles not included in the programs, as well as a small library of old anti-fascist books. All of the material on the website is available for free. Sister station WFMU is podcasting the For the Record programs. To subscribe to the podcast, use the link at the top of the description for this program or on the front page.
The Democratic presidential candidates have announced many of them have announced St. Bernard. Bernie Sanders has announced today, February 19th. I would note that one of the first and most prominent of the announcees was Kamala Harris, the former Attorney General of the state of California. She is someone I view with a jaundiced eye. Why? Well, the Huffington Post of February 3rd of 2012, one of many publications that carried an article by Miko, M-I-K-K-O-A-L-A-N-E, not that they all carried this article, but why the RFK case must be reopened, unquote. On February 1st of 2012, California Attorney General Kamala Harris officially recommended that the latest appeal of Saran Saran, convicted in the 1968 murder of Senator Robert Kennedy, should be denied. Well, Saran Saran is demonstrably innocent, and the physical evidence, as well as the partial hypno-deprogramming of him, is quite compelling in that regard. The article goes on to note that it can be proved that there were more than 8 shots fired in the pantry. Saran's gun only held 8, and that the fatal shot was fired from the distance of 1 inch to actual contact from the back of Robert Kennedy's head. Saran was no more than 3 feet, some put him as much as 12 feet in front of Kennedy, and noted that before Saran's trial even began, they're quoting, before Saran's trial even began, LAPD personnel on the case burned over 2,400 photographs from the crime scene and the investigation in a medical waste incinerator. Among those photos were the only preoperative photographs ever taken of Senator Kennedy. Other physical evidence, including a door frame with bullet holes, was also later destroyed. By the way, Special Unit Senator, the LAPD body put together to, quote, investigate, unquote, reap cover up the RFK assassination, ultimately morphed into the criminal conspiracy section, which was something of a proxy for the Federal Intelligence Services, as we looked at in AFA 23. They were very active in the 1960s and 70s, not only against African-American groups, but functioning around the U.S. as well. All of this could be seen as the inevitable harvest of seeds that were sown long ago, something that an article that we will take up again, as we talk about some of our follow-up, or an item we will take up again, as we follow up the Jim DiGiamio interviews. This from a book by Colonel L. Fletcher Prouty, JFK, the CIA, Vietnam, and the plot to JFK, the CIA, Vietnam, and the plot to assassinate John F. Kennedy, by Colonel L. Fletcher Prouty, copyright 2011 by Skyhorse Publishing. And skipping down, we see this excerpt. Even before the surrender of Germany and Japan, we began to hear the first rumblings of the Cold War. The Office of Strategic Services, and particularly its agents Frank Wisner and Alan Dulles in Zurich, nurtured the idea that the time had come to rejoin selected Nazi powers in order to split the Western alliance from the Soviet Union. And skipping down. On August 23, 1944, the Romanians accepted Soviet surrender terms, and in Bucharest, again, this is August of 1944, and in Bucharest, the OSS rounded up Nazi intelligence experts and their voluminous Eastern European intelligence files and concealed them among a trainload of American POWs who were being quickly evacuated from the Balkans via Turkey. Once in, quote, neutral, unquote, Turkey, the train continued to a planned destination at a site on the Syrian border, where it was stopped to permit the transfer of Nazis and POWs to a fleet of U.S. Army Air Force planes for a flight to Cairo. I was the chief pilot of that flight of some 30 aircraft, and he goes on to describe this. This, again, was August of 1944. We'll take this up again in our next program. However, this is all we have time for in this one. This concludes For the Record program number 1057, Miscellaneous Articles and Updates, being recorded on February 19th of the year 2019. I'm Dave Emery. Have fun.